Hi, everybody. I'm an addict. My name is Susie.
Susie.
Well, my clean date's December 2nd, 1985. And since this is a workshop, you know, we don't qualify. All I know is in the spirit of anonymity that, you know, we're all here, we all belong, and we're all exactly the same. But for some reason, I'm really nervous. I've never spoken in a workshop here at this convention before. And so it goes without saying I'm nervous. But the only way I'm keeping my nerves under control is... By the way, Colleen, that was amazing. You nailed it. I loved every word that you said. The only... Better?
Yeah.
Hey, sorry about that. I'm like pocket size, so... I got to... I need microphone help. But anyway, you know, the only way... It's either going to be good or it's going to be bad. I'm going to do my best, and you're not going to kick me out of NA. That's all I know. But yeah, a funny story. Back, way back, I used to aspire to be a convention speaker. On the circuit. And the reason for that is because my sponsor, her name was Kathleen M. She was a great speaker with an amazing NA message, and she was asked to speak a lot. And she was asked to speak at the third CPR CNA in 1989, and she was asked to be the spiritual breakfast speaker. And I was asked to be her to introduce her. And that by Gabrielle, for anybody that remembers Gabby. I don't know if anybody does. But anyway, she, it was a great honor, and I can remember being really excited about that. And so the time came, and, you know, I got up to the podium, and I looked out over the sea of faces, and it was like, oh, my, I swear to God, I could hardly utter a word. Do you ever have, like, those nightmares where, like, you know, you're trying to scream and nothing comes out? It was just like that. But somehow I got through the introduction and, you know, sat down and just proceeded to listen to Kathleen and all. And she was amazing. I have to admit, though, I didn't completely lose my desire, like my aspirations, you know, right at that moment. It's kind of all we had back then was, you know, like a basic text and not a lot else. But, you know, it taught me one thing, and that's one of the most important things I've ever learned in this fellowship, is it's definitely a process, and it's not an event. And, like, for instance, you ever go to the basic text, or go to, a section that you really like or that means a lot to you, and you reread it, and for some reason it says something completely new and meaningful to you? And, you know, that's the process at work. You know, you know you're growing when something like that happens. But Kathleen, there was something Kathleen used to always say to me, and I've always kept it, you know, close to me. And, you know, I say it a lot. She always said, you know, keep your feet planted firmly in the steps and steady movement forward. And that's still something I say. So anyway, I guess I should talk about step eight now. And, you know, you've all heard it said that the steps are in order for a reason. And, you know, you need to have a thorough fourth step in order to start to approach the eighth step. And, you know, the reason for that is because you have to take the time, there has to come a time when you take the time to look at, you know, what happened and the part you played in it. And that was the most important lessons that, you know, I ever got out of that was the most important lesson I got from the fourth step. And that is, you know, because I just thought, like, shit happened to me. You know, it was like, you know, and I didn't even know why. And it was like this endless loop. And, you know, and I just kept doing shit and shit kept happening. I kept doing shit and shit kept happening. But when I, you know, sat back and took a look at that, I realized that, you know, when I looked at the part that I played, that if I stopped doing that, that the shit would stop. And, you know, for me, that became the willingness for me, when I realized, hey, wait a minute, that maybe, you know, this could possibly work. And you know, from there you become able to, like from your fourth step, you can make a, that's where you make, get your list. And by the, you know, so you get your, so by the time, you know, I did all that, you know, and I did my fourth step and I got through six and seven and, you know, made my list for eight. I just went to the basic text. That was my guide, my how-to. Like, and that's all we had then, but all the textbooks are good. And it's up to you and your sponsor what, you know, which one you want to use, how you want to do it. But that was how I did it. But anyway, you know, so you get that far, you know, you make your list of amends and, you know, you become entirely willing. And, you know, time goes by. What I'm trying to say is, you know, at this point, I realize that I'm not responsible, you know, for my disease, but I'm responsible for my recovery. And what I'm trying to say, that I seem to be having a really hard time, is inevitably, well, you'll, as you go along, you'll think of, it's inevitable that you'll think of some new names to add to the list. And, you know, as the dust clears and things start to settle. But you want to try not to add any new names to the list. And but actually that becomes, like, you know, inevitable also. And for me, and this is really kind of a sad story, I had a really nice friend. Her name was Mary, and she wasn't in recovery, but she kind of stuck with me through everything, you know, like... She was just really nice. She used to call me up all the time and, you know, want to do things with me, want to see me. She was good. She was just plain old nice to me. She was like a real, true, honest friend. And at the time, like, I got a little bit clean and I got a little bit busy, you know, with work and things like that. Things started to get better. And I really was shitty to her, you know. She'd call me up and, you know, I'd make a date with her, then, you know, I'd break the date with her and... You know, and this went on a lot, and she invited me to go to, believe it or not, the Stanley Cup Final in Washington, D.C., the Washington Capitals. I'm a big hockey fan. The Washington Capitals against the Detroit Red Wings, and I accepted the invitation. Do you know that at the very last minute, like, I bailed on her? I mean, she had the ticket and everything, and I never paid for the ticket, but, you know, all in it, that was it. She just stopped calling me, stopped wanting to be friends and things like that. But, you know, I realized, like, maybe a year or so in past, I realized that, you know, she was just not in my life anymore and I really missed her. And I tried to make an amend to her. And we share a mutual birthday month, and every single month, every February, I would write her a letter. I'd write her a card and I'd write her a letter and I would say, please forgive me for what I did. And I don't know, it's been going on for a long time, like since the 90s, and I just stopped writing that letter 2 years ago. She never forgave me. And that's the lesson there, is that, you know, and that can happen too. You know, you make your amends, and it's just one of those things. You know, some people just aren't, you know, ready to say, hey, it was okay what you did. But, you know, try not to get any new ones in recovery. Someone else caught a new one in recovery on me, and that is, like, this guy, we got into a relationship, and it got really, you know, went on for a while, and it got really serious, and just all of a sudden, one day, out of nowhere, he dumped me. And it's like, I was devastated, that was it, okay, you're done, I'm done. And, you know, we went our separate ways, but many years later, like, I'm at work, and he calls me up, and he's trying to make an amend to me over the phone. And the thing is, you know, I got it. I know what the eighth step is, and there I was on his list, and I know what the ninth step is, and he's trying to make his amend. And the truth is, I really just didn't want to hear it. I had let it go. But I said, you know, that's all right. You know, time goes by, and things change, and, you know, thank you for the call, I appreciate it. But, you know, that was that. But something else happened the other day. You know, a good amend will keep you clean. And last Friday, not this past Friday, the Friday before, at my job, I work in a medical office, and we do expensive procedures and I collect money. And most people pay with credit cards and checks. And this past Friday, this woman came through and she, you know, dumped a whole lot of cash on me. And it was, it was like in little packets, and, you know, she's spreading it out. And she said, that's $3,000. And I said, okay, $3,000. And, you know, and I'm counting it, and the phone kept ringing, and people kept coming, and I'm like, okay, I lost count. Count again. Oh, those are all hundreds. Or those. Anyway, when all said and done, I wrote $3,000, you know, put it out, you know, in an envelope, gave it to my boss, and said, there's $3,000 to the bank. Well, the next day, she goes to the bank, and she calls me, and she goes, Susie, there's some sort of mistake. They counted the money. There's only $2,000 there. And I'm like, oh, what? I'm like, just tell the bank to recount the money because it's all there. And she said, okay. They went and recounted the money. And then, no, there's only $2,000 there. I'm like thinking, holy shit, you know, where's this money? And it just, I went into this frenzy. And here it was, Friday afternoon, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I ever going to enjoy my weekend with like this hanging over my head? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I got a credit line. I'll just write them a check. You know, I'll replace the money. And I don't know where it went, but they better not think it was me because it wasn't me. And anyway, for some strange reason, my boss said, well, I'm going to call that girl and see how much she gave me. She rang the girl up, and the girl said, I gave her $2,000. And I'm like, well, that was that. But anyway, the point I really wanted to make about that is I was sitting there, and I felt so shitty. I could feel my back up against the wall. I wanted to use. I fucking wanted to use because I didn't like the way I felt. It was so obvious to me because I'm sitting there going, I just can't deal with this. I just can't deal. But you know something, what came along was that amend that I had made to myself that I am not doing this anymore. I just plain old am not, and I don't want to do it to me, and I don't want to do it to my family. It's because today I'm responsible for my recovery. But, and time again, you know, I've been clean for, a little while, and what happens is I can slip back into this really dark place, and it's a really bad place. You know, I wake up, and I have these feelings of dread that, like, oh, my God, what I did. And I just feel so bad, and it's like, it almost feels like it's unforgivable. But you know, I slip back, and I look at myself, fuck. Here's almost 30 years clean, and I should be further along than this. I must be doing something wrong. And luckily, you know, I derail those feelings by saying to myself, you know, I'm just, you know, forgiving myself. I'm not doing that anymore. But the thing is, it was really bothering me. Like, why is this happening? I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And a friend who's in the fellowship came to visit me from Montreal. I picked her up at the airport. We're traveling back on the train. I said, Francine, you know, this is what's going on. And yeah, I just didn't, you know, she's been as clean as long as me. I just don't know what's going on. I can't, what am I doing wrong? And she looked at me, she goes, oh my God, the same thing happens to me. All you do is you just derail it and remember your amend and, you know, forgive yourself and move on. So, that, once again, one addict helping another is without parallel, and that never goes away. But that's about all I have on the eighth tradition, eighth step. Oh, after that. Let's see if I can. Thank you. You know something? When you laugh like that, it makes me feel good. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm okay. And I know I really am at home. Someone told me I couldn't, you know, do notes, and I said, oh, forget that. I just need bullet points because I have spoken in front of groups before, and my head just goes blank. But I've never spoken on the eighth tradition before, so, you know, what's a girl to do? You know, you call your sponsor. And my sponsor, Connie, she goes, Susie, you get yourself the basic text. Get yourself the green and gold, and you read it, and you'll be fine. So we'll see. But I think that, you know, the traditions, like, all kind of swirl around together, and sometimes you need to, you know, understand and apply one in order to, you know, understand and apply the other. And for the eighth, I'm looking at the fifth tradition states our primary purpose is to carry the message. And We just never want to lose sight of that, because we want to carry the message, and what we do is free. And the eighth tradition, you know, we have no service, we have no professionals, but we do have service centers that employ special workers. We've just grown so large, and thank goodness we have. Colleen touched on it about, you know, we've become a worldwide organization. That girl Francine I was telling you about, she actually did a lot of the, you know, translation of the basic text from English into French, and, you know, that's the stuff that, you know, that's the big picture, the thing that's going on, so that, you know, they're translating it into, you know, into Russian, into Turkish, into, you know, Farsi, like into all the other languages. Anyway, we've got, you know, we've grown so large, and, you know, sometimes we need professionals, lawyers, accountants, to help us navigate complicated financial systems, or we need special workers who, you know, support our services. And the difference between a professional, a paid professional, and a special worker is a special worker is usually a recovering addict who answers directly, you know, to the members, to the fellowship, to us. And there's not a whole lot more, you know, to say about that, except that, anyway, in my home group, there's this this an addict. Her name, well, not her name doesn't matter. There's an addict, and she's trying to get clean, and she's, you know, taking prescription drug. You know, she's, you know, prescription medications, but she shows up sporadically, and she's taken my number, and she calls me, and she called me on Wednesday, and said, "Susie, you know, I'm running out of pills, and I'm not going to renew my prescription." And I said, "Well, when will you run out?" She said, "Friday." I said, "Do you want to go to detox?" And she said, "No, I got this." And I said, "You know, well, okay. If you, you know, if you get in trouble, call your doctor. You know, I recommended she call her doctor." And I said, "If you get in trouble, call 911." You know, but that was the extent of it, because, you know, I'm not a doctor. You know, and I don't claim to have any, you know, special knowledge or professionalism in this area. But that it was funny, because thinking about talking on the eighth tradition, I thought that was a brilliant example of, you know, what we don't do in upholding it. But also, it was funny, what we do is free, and we should never lose sight of that. And I was remembering the story of when I was in treatment, and it was it was near the end of my, they're about to release me, and for the first time I was feeling like this desire to stay clean, and the people in treatment were telling me, "Susie, okay, you want to stay clean, what you're going to have to do is you're going to need a therapist, you're going to need group therapy, and you're going to need NA meetings." And I'm thinking to myself, how am I ever going to do this? I had just blown everything. I blew the wad. By the time I ended up in treatment, I had nothing. And I thought, how am I going to do this? I've got no money. And, you know, and I shared this with another recovering addict who was a counselor. And he was also, you know, in NA. And he was funny because, you know, there was a rumor that he had a bullet in his head that he caught down at 9th and O, and I think it was true because his head was a little crooked and he only had one eye open. But his name was Herbie, and I loved him, and I said, Herbie, what am I going to do? You know, they said that, you know, I'm going to need therapists, I'm going to need group, and I'm going to need NA meetings. And he looked at me, he leaned over, and he whispered in my ear, and he said, "Susie, all you need is NA." And he was right. I'll never forget that moment, because he was absolutely right. And that's all I needed. And, and I just got one more thing I'll say, and then I'll close. But somebody who I really, really like a lot, and she said, I was saying, you know, Leah, what would you say if you were up there sharing? And she said, "Susie, what I would say is, even though we have no professionals, does not mean," am I talking like her? "does not mean we don't have to act professional in public." And, you know, and I said, you know, I love it. That really is true, because like an individual, we're not NA, but a group, we are. And I was at a convention in New Jersey back in 1988, and I remember, it was called Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. And it was a really great convention. We used to go to conventions, you know, and go to the workshops, and that's how we learned to work steps. But went to this convention, and halfway through the convention, somebody from the convention committee came up to the podium and said, okay, this is what's happened. A bunch of addicts have trashed a room, and the hotel is really pissed, and we'll probably never be able to have the convention in this hotel again. And it was just one of those moments, and they went on to say that it reflects on all of us, and, you know, because of that. Anyway, it was just one of those moments that I really won't ever forget, and I really put a lot of value in what Leah said. And, you know, in closing, you know, the traditions, you know, their words and spiritual principles to be applied and lived, and anybody that, you know, hasn't read The Green and Gold, you know, I hadn't read it in a while, and it was, you know, I was really glad to have had this opportunity to be told by my sponsor to take another good look at it. Thank you, everybody, and thanks for letting me share.